How y'all seeing, all right? Me too. Had a good day today. For us, it was really unusual. I didn't do nothing. I actually had hours to just sit propped up on a pillow and pray. That's pretty nice. For the ones of y'all that do that a lot, you're blessed. Some of us have to work. Casting out devils, healing the sick. Now then, I know I didn't ask you. That's because I wasn't going to give you an option tonight. That there's Mrs. Hogan.
It's a blessing to be here tonight. I'm just thankful to God for Jesus, for dying for me. I'm happy and blessed to serve Him. Brother David and I went to Mexico when our children were young. I had a son that was turning 5 years old and a baby in my arms, and God asked us to leave our home, leave everything that we were used to, everything that was comfortable, and go to the mission field. And I was willing, but I knew I would have a hard time. I just knew that it would be difficult because we were going into a third world country, and it was not as easy and comfortable as America is. And I said, God, I want to, but I just don't know if I'm able to do it. I don't know if I can. And He said I needed to trust Him, and He said His grace was sufficient. And I have reminded Him and reminded myself many times of that scripture, that His grace is sufficient. It has been, and it always will be. We've had a lot of bumps, a lot of hard times, but we've had a lot of good times. Had a lot of people saved, a lot of people healed. We've seen the dead raised. My own son died in my arms, and after several hours, God brought him back. And I've seen the power of God, and I trust God, and I just want to encourage each one of you to just trust God and just do what He asks you to do. Whether you think you can, whether you think it's the right thing or, you know, whatever it is that would be stopping you from doing what God would ask you to do, just put that aside and just give it a try, and He will help you. He will bring to pass what He says in His Word. He will cause you to trust Him. And sometimes it might be through trials and things that aren't comfortable. But I'm happy. I'm blessed. I just can't wait to see what's going to happen next. And just thank you, and God bless you.
I apologize. Ms. Hogan's not a preacher. She's my wife. Things are going well for us, y'all. And I'm going to tell you some more about it. I told you something about it last night. And that great Holy Ghost is blessing us. There's lots of folks mad at me, because time and demons and unfaithful brothers have not been able to twist me into submission. You hear me? I am not bowing except to Jesus. Let me tell you why. There's a lady in Alabama. Never knew her before. Didn't even know, you know that there's 6-something billion folks on the planet. Your sphere of life probably encounter what? 200-300 of those? That's if you're active. Most of you, it's less than 100. How many people you really know? You sit down one day, put everybody you honestly know on a piece of paper. I'll challenge you to that. You'll figure out that you're not as important as you might think. But we can influence a lot greater crowd than that. We can do it with the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? I was in this pastor, he's a good man. He's becoming a friend of mine, even though he is from Alabama. And he said, on the way to church, I want you to stop by the hospital. I said, I don't do house calls. He said, I'm aware of that. He said, but I want you to do it. I said, all right, I'll meet you there. So we met at this hospital, walked in, went up into intensive care, head intercessor in their church, black lady. She had been targeted by the demon. Had lived her whole life just full of the Holy Ghost and just seeking God, just praying, just moving mountains, moving, doing what God wanted done in the Spirit. And they were really breaking through because they had like something like 9 or 10 years of meetings with at least one person every meeting getting saved for like 9 or 10 years. I mean, it's this awesome bunch of folks. Really on fire for the Holy Ghost. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I walked in that intensive care. The whole family was there. Just a whole bunch of black folks just in there. And they looked up and saw me. And I'm not the right color. I'm white. And in that part of the world, it's still lots of trouble and tension over that. And they looked right at me. And this, especially this one big guy. He says to me, you're not touching my mama. I said, son, I don't care. But let me just tell you what Jesus has to say about it. If I touch her, she might get healed. He said, I don't have any proof of that. I said, you don't have any proof that she won't. He said, all right. And they were hostile because the guy run over her was a white guy that was drunk that run a red light. And now it looked like she was targeted by certain individuals of bad devils or devils. And it was the Holy Ghost helping her stay alive because she was in a halo. Any movement of her head, she could die. From her neck down, she was completely paralyzed. All of her organs were on machines. She was in a bad way, right? Now watch this. I walk over there. Touch her, she has no feeling in her body from her neck down. I walk over and grab her on the hand, and her eyes just cut over at me, and tears just started running right out of her eyes. It was amazing. She couldn't talk. She had a tracheotomy, and she was, they were putting oxygen in her, and all these things that happens, and, it was serious. And these nurses are in there, doctors are in there. I mean, it's a hard thing because it was fresh. It just happened and she was not going to make it. It was not going to happen. What's this? In the morning when she woke up or they woke up, she started coming off the machines. In 3 days, she was out of the halo. And in 5 days, she was out of the hospital completely healed. That's good. Now listen, that's the United States of America, even though some people don't believe it. Holy Ghost. You hear me? Okay. Holy Ghost. Last night we started in Luke 3. Our work has grown all the way into Guatemala. We're in a large section of Guatemala now, but nobody has visas. There's no, you can't tell where the where the border is, because it's mountains, and it's, we just go as we're going with the Holy Ghost. Another thing that's happened with our work, lots of things are happening good for us. We've opened up 7 new sections of territory in our work. We're just solidifying all that. That means to you, 7 new territories. From the inside the United States, there's Indians that have never been dominated by Mexico or America. They don't have visas for or passports for either nation, but they freely can roam back and forth. You didn't know that, did you? Well, now you do. And we work with those people, and they need the Holy Ghost. And so from those tribes in South Texas and South New Mexico, all the way to inside of deep into Guatemala now, our work is not ending for me. I go from border to border now. That's way beyond can to can't. Way beyond. Thing is growing rapidly, y'all. I was just approached by an American pastor that goes fishing. Odd for you, but they're down there fishing for bass in these lakes in Mexico. They're real good, actually. You can catch hundreds of bass in a day, catch and release and keep a certain amount too. But while he was down there, he was just preaching to these people, and they started getting saved. Now they got 35 churches. But the thing is, they don't know what to do with them because they got them all started, but they cannot work them. And that's the very northern edge of our work. Our work's headed that way like a steamroller. And he says to me, look, I need help. I said, no problem. How many you got? And so we're absorbing these churches also. It's our work is just growing. There's no explaining to you the percentages. There's thousands of miracles every year of every disease. You hear me? Thousands. In a day's time, there could be 100 miracles. It's just no way to keep up with it. I don't have the means. If I did have the computer system in place in the villages, I don't know if we would have time to update it. That's a good thing, y'all. I'm here to tell you good stuff. But I'm here also to fuss at you because I want to know why you're not doing it. If I can do it, I don't see what the problem is for you. I just don't get it. Every excuse you have is absolutely valid, and I am an American. I do understand, except one thing. It don't work with God. It only works in your humanistic world. But in the world that I live in, where the Word of God is dominant, the power of the Holy Ghost is phenomenal. How do you get a woman in a halo with 100% life support, broke back several places, completely severed? How do you get all a new back and the halo off and all the organs working again? How does that work? How does that happen? All you can do is throw cliches at me. You think you have the answer, but when it comes your turn to lay hands on somebody with a halo, you can't get the job done. All right. Now that's the problem, is it not? Just honesty is okay. Just say yes. And I'm not mad at you. Look at me. I am a happy, you heard her. We're happy. We're blessed. Things are working for us. You know, I know that if I would listen to you, we could probably do a better job. But the problem is I'm not going to listen to you. Because I don't see it working in your life, so don't try to train me. Hello? That ought to be fair, don't you guess? We're close to 400 dead raisins. If it don't happen by the end of the year, it will by the first 6 months of next year. That's amazing. We're going to get 1,000 churches in the next year or two. We have a new thing happening in our work. One of the 7 new areas that God's let us open up is we have the missionaries that are working out of our work. They're nationals. They don't know the language where they go. They don't know the customs where they go. They don't have the finances that even America's not involved besides us. Occasionally it is. These people, now listen to this. I'll just tell you about one of our guys. He to me is a fascinating, I admire him. Me as a person. He's a young man, he's got a young family, he's got three kids. He was one of our, there's no doubt he would have been one of our great, he would have probably worked up to be a director in our work. And that's as high in our work, as high as you go. That means you're raising the dead and all the rest of the miracles are below that. That's how we view it. And that means you got lots of churches. That means things are happening for you. That means you're doing right according to the Spirit of God. Okay? That's what that means to us. One of our directors had taken him in, was teaching him, tutoring him. He had 20 churches, 20, that he was already over, responsible for under this director. That's a good thing. That means you have direct access to me. If you call, I'll respond immediately. If you have 20 churches, I'll listen to you. That's a good thing. That's what people want. They want my attention. And I've worked my whole life to get people to want my attention. But not in a bad way. I don't want popularity. I want people that are driven to seek the Holy Ghost. You hear me? He walks up to this director, he says, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I'm going to give my work to my brother. He's going to be directly responding to you. And I am going to go to this place out here and start a work where there's never been a person born again. Two states away. And for an Indian to move out of their village is like you moving to whatever is the most dreaded, fearful place in your life. No finances. Nobody would ever know if he got killed besides us. He's been gone for 2 years from his village. 2 years he's been out there in those mountains working. We've been backing him, helping him, going out there as much as possible. He works directly with this director who works there side by side with my son. They work together, and so they're doing this project. Now watch this. His wife, they got so financially strapped that if you had to start out at the level he's at, you wouldn't start out. He gave up all of his inheritance, which was 2 acres of land, to go to the mission field in one calf. That don't seem like a lot, unless you don't have anything. And he gave all that up, went to the mission field, which was a different tribe of people in his own land. His wife went to him and said, look, we're out of food. And here's what she said to him. We don't even have sugar to make a cup of coffee. There are no staples. There's no salt. There's no beans. There's no rice. There's nothing. We have nothing. And I've got kids to feed. What do you think his response was? Oh, baby, let's go home. No, it wasn't. Let me pray and ask God about that. I'll get back with you. That was his response to his wife. See, here in this nation, you wives and you husbands, everybody thinks that they have the right to tell God what to do. You don't. He runs the kingdom. Hello? Sorry. But Jesus is in charge. Not my Ms. Hogan, not me. It's Jesus. We work together for the kingdom. He went and prayed for 2 hours. What's this? A lady comes running, bangs on the door. She comes running in. It was a widow who they had been helping, who lives in a cardboard, viscoline shack on the edge of town. She comes running in there. What's this? She had a little bitty container with salt in it. She had a little bitty container with sugar in it. She had a little bitty container with beans and rice and coffee. Just the littlest amount, just the smallest amount. And she said, I was working in the field of a rich man, and God spoke to me to go home. I went home and I'm sitting, and her house, the walls of it's made out of plastic. The roof is a cardboard. She said, God spoke to me that you needed everything that I have in my house. So she gathered up. This is why I don't take the offering, because I'd get every penny they got. I'm not kidding you. I am not afraid and ashamed to take offerings. I just know how. And I can get money out of you. But if I got to coerce you with this kind of a story, I don't need your money. If you can't hear God, I don't need your sympathy. How does that sound to you, America? And I mean it. Because we'll make it somehow. If God has to create new stuff and give it to us. If we have to get it from widows who live in plastic houses, He'll get His gospel out. Hey, you sit there with your coffers full. I'm good with that. But whenever them little widows come in and throw their whole living in the coffer, and Jesus asks the question, you respond correctly, okay? That's all I ask. Just tell the truth. Anyway, she had gotten born again. She was one of our sisters, but we was all helping her. But there's millions of them. So she came in there, put that littlest amount. I mean, you could hold it in two hands, all of it, and that was all she had. Put it down on the thing. Said, "What's what?" She said, "I am now free." She didn't have anything left. But she considered herself free. Woo! And you think you know what freedom is. I don't think you do. And that's it. That woman walked in there. When she saw that lady, what do you think happened to that preacher's wife? She was instantly smitten in her heart. And she repented to the Holy Ghost, her husband, the widow, the kids, everybody. In my lifetime, this will never happen again. I apologize to all of y'all for not having faith. You know what that little old woman said? There's enough food here for everybody to have a meal and a good cup of coffee. What to say, let's fix it and be happy with Jesus and enjoy our freedom. In essence. Where was the next meal coming for all of them now? That ain't relevant. See, your mind is tortured with tomorrow. The word of God, faith is today. Hello. I'm here, and I'm headed somewhere with this. It's called freedom. It's okay for you to be successful. God does not... You having $100 million in assets that you can liquefy by daylight is not going to offend God one bit. That is the least of His worries. But you not getting people born again and hearing the Holy Ghost is a different story. This power has a use. And it's sold. Last night I told y'all when God let me go to Pakistan 3 months ago, or no, 2 months ago, whatever it was. In less than a week, I had never seen that kind of salvation in my life. And it was the hardest place I personally have ever been. As far as murderers go. And other trivial matters. And God gave me, in the last couple of months, three and a half, we've had nearly 7,000 people saved. That's a bunch. But it's been on five continents. And it's been in some of the hardest areas that there are. You have all the answers, and I've got just a little bit of faith. I'll take my faith. Amen. You keep your answers. And I'm not mad. I'm not. But this thing is serious. You've got to be jolted into action. You've got to be led into battle. And here's what I want to tell you. Myself, my wife, our family, the people we work with, our native pastors, everybody, we're at war. We are going to war. We are not backing down. We are going to stay out on the front lines. It's absolutely exhilarating to me inside to be out there. It's just something about it, that spike you get when that rush hits you and all that heat comes around your neck because you're going to die. It's just amazing. I like it. Boy. You get yours a different way, I evidently. But me, I like confronting the demon on his turf. It's awesome. Because 100% of the time so far, he's backed down. 100%. It hadn't been without consequence. It hadn't been without needing faith and needing opportunity, needing God. Need mercy and grace. But I'm telling you about victory. And I'm a good soldier. Anyway, I won't go right back to Luke 3 where we was at. I can't get over this. People were in suspense, waiting expectantly. And then we was over there in Psalms, right? I never did get past there. I was supposed to, never did make it. I don't even think I finished Psalms. I didn't. I know I didn't. I didn't even get to where I was headed with it. Look at verse 9. I'll go ahead and do it now. Psalms 85, verse 9. Surely his salvation is near to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. Ms. Hogan can tell you about 3,000 or 4,000 demon spirits of fear. From what are the kids going to eat? What are they going to, how are we going to clothe them? We're going out of the nation. We can't work. How are we going to get education? I mean, see, there's been the whole way. It's a thing of fear. Most Christians are trapped in fear, but not of God. Of something else, men, monies, failures, success. But heaven wants us worshiping him in reverence. Watch what it says. His salvation is near to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him and is ready to appropriate. And is ready, wait a minute, it is ready to be appropriated. Do you understand appropriated? It's sitting there on the shelf and it's got your name on it and all you got to do is go up there and say, hey, that's mine. And then you appropriate somebody getting it for you. All right. What is that? That the manifest presence of God. Is that not what you're looking for? Answer me. Come on. You're deep down inside. You, who you are, that's when you get home tonight and all the lights are off right before you go to sleep and every devil in hell's there lying to you or every angel speaking to you and voices from God. One of the two is happening. Isn't it the real you? Aren't you the ones of you that are really seeker friendly? Aren't you really desiring the presence of God? Do you understand that it is an appropriated thing for you? The manifest presence of God, His glory, may tabernacle and abide in your land, in our land. He wants to come here, sit down, and never leave. In our work in Mexico, He's doing that. We have invited Him, and He has come, and He sits down there with us, and that's where all these miracles come from. The pastor took in that widow. She works there in the house, helping with the kids and so forth. And now they all live together in faith. Isn't that awesome? And He has gone out in the last 2 years, and now they've got 22 new churches in 2 years. I can't tell you how phenomenal that is. I'm a pioneer missionary. I break open new areas all the time, and to get 22 churches in 2 years is stepping into a serious miracle. And guess what? We've got 8 of those missionaries now. It's happening for us, y'all. And I'm blessed. Our best. God has taken our best people and just saying, I need you to go here. And there's never any talk of finances, any how we're going to do it, how's it going to work out. And I have sat down with these pastors. We've worked out schemes of how to get sacks of corn and beans. These churches are growing extra corn fields in their villages. You know what the corn is for? To feed the missionaries. Bean field. There are people that can't go, and their job is to grow the food for the ones that can. And so you sit here and you try to decide, now which is it, God? I'll tell you what it is. All of them's God. Everything you hear that you know is legitimate, it's God for you to participate to help those people get the gospel out. That's what God is. Well, there's too many, we can't. That right there is the reason you can't, is because you think you can't. The gospel seems to think you can. There is no limit to the child of God. God's presence is abiding with us. He wants to tabernacle with you. The thing is, you step in and out of the tabernacle with Him. He don't move. And I'm right about that. I know I'm right about that. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Some of you in here are going to listen to me. The gospel's got to go forth. And it's got to go forth with people of God that are tabernacling with God, that are expecting in His power, that are something else. Now let's jump. Galatians 5. Holy Ghost. We got attacked this year. Right when we were in the middle of a 40-day fast. There were a group of black magic warlocks and witches that decided they were going to terminate the gospel in one of our areas. They went after our churches. They burned a few of them to the ground. You hear about that on CNN? Oh, really? Oh, that surprises me. You know why, right? It's a communist news network. Communist news network, CNN. They'll sue you. Maybe. They ain't gonna get much. I'll get bigger publicity and I'll say it right on the stand. How about that? Does it make you afraid when guys like me talk like that? It does some people. Ms. Hogan don't. My son-in-law told me something the other day. I got pretty heavy against this one thing, and he says to me, they're going to get you one day. I said, won't we be fortunate to have the battle? Because the publicity we'll get will be greater than anything we could ever do. Galatians 5. Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, there's a war in South Mexico still going on. The Holy Ghost jumped the lines. And he didn't ask our permission. You'd think he would let us in on what he's doing. But he don't seem to take us into consideration when he and his forces are together at the war table making plans for his kingdom. He fails to inform us where he's going sometimes. And he just jumps clean across these y'all call them gorillas. I honestly don't know what to call them. They're people that are hungry is all I know about them. And he went in there and started getting people healed and saved. They laying down these AR-15s and AK-47s. And they're picking up Bibles. And that started a couple of years ago. And now we have 32 churches in that what the government calls the zone. And they let us go in and out of there. Both sides do. The more the gospel is preached, the less the tensions are between the two sides. And that's it. What if your gospel that's really in you, that I see that you have, I see it on you. What if that gospel really can do what it did in Hebrews 11, stop wars? What if God lets us do that? How about it? From helping widows and orphans to stopping wars. That's a pretty good stretch, isn't it? But it's going to take something from you. Galatians 5:1. Read that to me. Anybody. Any version. I don't care. Ooh, see, yours says similar to mine. It says, in this freedom, Christ Jesus has made us free. See, this freedom thing is important to me. Because those Indians in Mexico have been in bondage for close to 700 years now. Ever since Europeans hit the shores. And they're finally coming free. The Holy Ghost is letting them free. And there hadn't been one bullet fired. And they're completely free people. There's not one of our brothers, and we're almost at 200,000 now. There's not one of them on a social plan from the government. Did you hear me? Is anybody listening? And they're one of the top five poorest people in the world, and yet not one of our brothers is on a social plan. You should listen to what I'm telling you. That's called the Holy Ghost. Not long ago, we had one of our, two of our villages got raided. Several people were killed. Did you hear that on CNN? Hundred and five refugees. That's big enough to be on the news, right? No, we're not going. They won't give us any press. They burned every house down, killed several of our people, burned their crops, killed all their animals, and we were left with 100. It was either 103, 108, somewhere in there. Refugees, men, women, and children. We buried our dead, took them all in, put them in homes. And any of y'all ever get anybody in here get a newsletter from me? Three or four people, five. Did you hear about that in the newsletter? We don't put it in our papers because I don't want to touch you with that kind of atrocity. You need to be guided by the Holy Ghost. You need to walk in freedom. I need you to hear me. Freedom is for everybody. Now watch this. You included. Some of you in here are so much in debt, it's hard for you to even clap your hands. But you live in a nice house, have nice cars, have nice things. Your kids go to the best schools and everything else. But you are so far in debt, you won't see the end of it in your generation. And you say that you're free. I say you're a slave to a different kind of a God. We got to walk in freedom. It's financial, it's mental, it's spiritual, and it's physical. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Freedom. Let's go to another verse. Let's see, where is it? John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples in what? In what? If you continue in my word. Getting born again, getting full of the Holy Ghost, learning how to prophesy, learning how to speak in tongues, give interpretation. That is not nothing but the beginning. We've been raising the dead for a number of years, 24 years now. And you want to know what? We are still growing, excelling in the Holy Ghost. I'm still getting new stripes, new commands, new. God has taken us higher and higher and higher and given us more and more power. If you continue, then you can be my disciple. What? Indeed. I was preaching in, where's Brother Allen live? Allen Wills in Australia. Where does he live? Brisbane. I was preaching in Brisbane, Australia just about, was it 2 weeks ago? No, 3 weeks ago. About 3 weeks ago, and the house was packed. There wasn't 1,000 people, but it was close. It was just packed out. I mean, just wall to wall, people on the floors, just all up the walls. It was awesome. We was having a good time. And in the foyer back there was this man walked in. He was a very large man. Bald-headed fella with a huge goatee. And he was big. And he was pacing back and forth in the foyer. And I was talking. And I was watching him. I just knew that I was on. It's time. This is it. This is a real one. He came in after the music was going. And he's there. And he's going to get me. And I'm looking. I got my son there. My boy's thicker than me. And I'm thinking, it's going to take us both. This boy's big, and he's pacing like an angry tiger in a cage, back and forth. As soon as I stopped talking and said, now, if you want Jesus, come here. He comes blowing through the doors of that foyer. He comes running up through there, and he's standing there, just sweat, just profusely pouring off of him. And I'm going, oh, dude, here it is. There's nowhere to go. This thing is real. I mean, this is going to be one of those things talked about a long time. That's how I'm thinking. I said, you want to get born again? Absolutely. I said, that's good. So what are you running from? Nothing. And of course, a fellow that large, that stirred up, you don't question the man. He got born again. We reached and touched him. I don't think we ever got our hands completely laid on him before the Holy Ghost took a baseball bat and flipped that. I'll tell you, that man was, he was 300 something pound guy. He was a big boy. He was lots taller than me. Big boy. And he, I tell you, I could have done a better job with a... And he's laying flat, just, he's taking up half the front, looked like. He's big, wasn't he, Miss Hogan? And I'm wondering what his story is. Because I never got it out of him because he got knocked out. And so I didn't see him again. But the next morning at 5:30, pastor's up there praying at the church. Here he comes walking in. Y'all want to hear his story? You talking about an amazing story. But you see, it's I was at the right place at the right time. The Holy Ghost brought that man to us. The Holy Ghost did. What's this? He had decided, lots of things had brought him to the point that he was going to commit suicide. So he hit these drugs, tried to overdose. He didn't die. They didn't work. So he goes and bootleg, because it's against the law in Australia to own a firearm. So he went and bootlegged him a firearm, got him a brand new rifle, got some brand new hard-nosed bullets, filled a clip up. The whole clip, the firearm, the firing pin hit the bullet and dented it, but it never went off. None of them. He threw the gun upside the wall, goes out and gets in his car. No seatbelt. Got on the, they drive on what we consider the other side of the road over there. So here he is going down the wrong side of the interstate. 100 mile an hour. He's dodging these cars because he's waiting on a for sure thing. He hit a 32-ton tractor trailer. Head on at 100 miles an hour, plus whatever the tractor trailer was doing. Listen to me. We got pictures of this. It tore the car half in two. And not one scratch on the man. He's flying down the interstate, a few inches off of it, and when he landed, his feet dropped, he stood straight up, not a scratch on him. Furious! He's furious. So the police come. So he said, I know, I'll attack them. It's awesome, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, if God wants you spared, you will be spared. Your doubt and unbelief does not have a living thing to do with it. It only hurts you. Please hear me. The bondage the demon is trying to put on you from reasons, good reasons. All it's doing is affecting you mentally. Because if God wants you spared, I'm telling you, you're not going to die. And just think about the ones of us that really truly want to seek God, want Him tabernacling with us. We love Him. We appreciate Him. He's worthy to us. How much more is He going to appreciate His sons? I'm right. And I'm not going to live with you living with the devil. I have got to talk you into hearing me. The devil is a liar, and we do not have to live with him. We can walk in truth, and we can walk in discipline, and indeed. The police went up there. Who's looking for the... They were expecting a mangled, crushed body. He goes walking up. That's my car. Look, sir, back off. There ain't no way. It's not the car... You ought to see these pictures. It's completely torn in two. Smushed. Finally, he pulled out enough identification. You know what the policeman said to him? Son, you need to get born again. He said, I've been a policeman for 25 years, and guess what? I've never seen this. God spared you, and you are not going to die. Go get born again. So he shows up at the church. Isn't that something? And I happen to be there to be part of that. I like that. I like being part of those kind of things. See, you tabernacle with the Holy Ghost. You're in His presence. He loves you. You love Him. And then He puts you at the right place at the right time all over the planet for miracles. That's what God wants to do with you. And for you believing that governments and men of power, men of money, men of wealth, men of opportunity and affluence, influence have greater powers than you, you're believing a lie. You believe the Holy Ghost. You are free. And it's because of Jesus. It's not anything you've done. It's His mercy. Now I ask you to walk in it. You've got to light up. You have to. You have to light up. You must. You'll know the truth and what's going to happen in verse 32. Now I'm going to go back to a story I started. I just remembered. Why didn't y'all tell me? Remember I said that the warlocks attacked us when we was in the middle of a 40-day fast. And I went to something else and you never brought me back. Now why is that? Am I that boring, Miss Hogan? It doesn't seem like it, but I feel like I'm on fire here. Well, let me go ahead anyway and be nice. One of these, they did this co-op or this coalition of witches. The majority of the people sitting in this room right here don't even know what I'm saying out of my mouth. When I say a witch, you remember the witch thing, the nose twinkly thing on the TV. What was her name? Samantha. That's right. And it looks so good and so fun, and they're trying to desensitize you. They are devils. All of them. White magic, brown and green. They're all devils. They're exactly like black magic. They're devils. All of them. Anyway, they'd come after us, burn down, attacked us, hurt us. It got interesting. And we're in the middle of this fast when things are supposed to go the other way. Sometimes, most of the time they don't. It'd be just like you walking up to a hornet's nest. I'm going to eradicate these hornets. Let me slap them first. The odds of you getting away without a few stings are very slim. It's exactly the same in the spirit world. You go up to a principality and slap him and spit in his eye, he's going to hit you back. It's going to happen. You are protected. You are blessed. You are all those things. But I'm going to tell you, in war, there is both sides. There's a reason for the armor. And so anyway, we're there, you know, and this one witch, she is not just a witch. She's a reciter. She's a witch. She's a reciter. She is a spiritist healer and a herb doctor. She has credentials that reach all the way to the top politicians in Mexico City. She's bad. She's part of this coalition of witches that decided they're going to take us down. Well, the great Holy Ghost decided that's not going to happen. We took a bunch of hits, lost a bunch of crops, did a bunch of things like that, and had a few churches here and there. We rebuild them. It's easy. You just go get some more wood and start over. In the same spot. And on the side of the building you say, do it again if you can. Brother David, don't tempt. Who am I tempting? A loser? Why shouldn't I? I don't respect him like you do. I respect him because he's a power and an entity, and I won't misuse him, but I do not fear him. He does have a use. He's a formidable enemy. Makes me strong. But other than that, he's a loser. Y'all are not used to people talking like this. The thing is, you need to hear it. Because it was full on battle. And when I came out of that prayer closet, I found out about these things happening. And I'm amazed. Because I've been in there. See, I mean, I'm talking about every day. 16, 18 hours. Praying in tongues, listening to Bible, the Holy Ghost on me, and these powers rise up to kill us. Isn't that something? How it is? And this head one, this, she actually turns out she's the most powerful being around there. She got so agitated at us moving things in the Holy Ghost. She also went into fasting and prayer, but her outcome was slightly different. She got possessed by the devil. 5 sicknesses came on her. Her body was emaciated by demon power. When she died, she was completely controlled by demon spirits and had 5 diseases in her body. This is the people that set out to destroy us with those same diseases and those same powers. You listen to me. And they were successful to a certain point, but there is a place where God just absolutely steps in and says, no more. And you have to have the ability and freedom to stand in the liberty. You see how this is putting together here? It's the truth that'll make you free. You need to deluge yourself and be around people that will only speak truth. Getting around people where you feel like you have to compromise the gospel every day of your life is an absolute treachery. You will be overcome by them. You cannot beat them. Not with a compromising spirit. You can't. You can only beat them with truth. Holy Ghost. Isn't that something? Because it works. It works. Now, when she died, the whole village came together and several other villages also and began to mourn her. Problem was, she had 2 daughters. And they had gotten born again in one of our churches that she had burned to the ground. What were the daughters' response to mama's possession and ultimate demise? Does anybody know? Even though she's laying there dead, you know what their response was? No, devil! That's the truth. You hear me? That's the truth. Are you listening to me? That is the truth. It's no devil. That's the truth. They began to pray. They sent for some pastors. Pastors got there. They kneel down. They pray in Jesus' name. Nothing happened. They waited an hour, started another prayer session. They have permission of the family. All these other witches are there. All these other powers are there. Demonstrations are going on in the negative. You hearing me? So that was a very tactful way I just put that. Demonstrations in the negative. Now that there needs to be written down so I can remember it. Because that's a tactful way to talk about how devils do things. Makes you more comfortable than some of these other words I use. Remember that, Ms. Hogan. Second time they prayed for an hour, nothing happened. Waited another hour, and a third time, it was like 15 hours, this woman's dead now. They pray now. This time they decided we're going to stay with it until it's time to go bury her. At hour 3 of the third time, she rises from the dead. Now I'm talking about a woman that was demon-possessed, 5 diseases, had submitted to every devil in this hemisphere. Are you listening? Our opinion of what we know the Bible says is, she surely has a front row seat in hell. But God has a different idea about how to run His kingdom than you and I do. And it's in freedom. It's in truth. It's in deed. What do you think came out of her mouth as soon as she came back to life? Anybody have even a clue? No. That's what we would think. We would think, you know, she come out of there shouting and everything. No. She come out of there wailing and weeping. You know what she said? I saw this hell these people are preaching about. It is real. I was in it and I burned. That's what you call church growth. Forty-five people that had never given their life to God and almost half of them were witches got born again that afternoon. Yeah. War's over, we won. But it was God that did it. It's God that gives the victory and the increase. Hello? No amount of your fretting, no amount of your worrying, no amount of things that you can do can propagate it, can cause it to happen. It is because of the mercy of God, I tell you. I sit and looked at her. I said, describe hell to me. I didn't get very many words because she couldn't talk. Because when she starts thinking about how she got out, she can't do anything but weep and thank God for his mercy. Isn't that something? Wow. I'm talking about freedom. The reason we're doing so good is because of mercy. God is showing us how to walk in freedom and truth. And it's bringing victory. It's not because we are so good. It's because Jesus is. From widows to witches who deserve hell, and they went there actually and was brought back out of it. To slowing down wars. To getting Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists born again and getting people that are born blind healed. When was the last time you heard? Last night I told you that story about that 16-year-old boy born blind that got healed. When was the last time you heard that? I can tell you when it was. It was the last time you read it out of here. When Jesus did it. Isn't that right? Almost 100% you'll say, yeah, that's right. Isn't that something? That's sad, y'all. Because we all have the same freedom. And I've got to invite you to it. I've got to invite you, but it goes through truth. But Brother David, I have truth. I mean, but listen to me. The way you examine how much truth you have in you is by the freedom you possess. Whoops. There are checks and balances all through the gospel. Isn't that right? You think about it. You theologians go study it out. I already did. It's there. It's right. It says in my Bible, verse 35, the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. One of these days you're going to figure it out that you are not a servant. You're a son. You're a friend of God. Jesus loves us. His son was murdered so that we could live. He was raised from the dead so we could walk in freedom. And I can't allow you to be nitpicked, let the little foxes keep you completely at bay. I've got to have you to rise up in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And I know that many of us have made mistakes and we've made some bad decisions along the way, and I understand that. I got it. Today's a new day. We start from right now. We keep score starting right now. You got it? Hello. Yes. We do. There was a man I met a couple of months ago. I was in Germany. hate time. Sorry. And they brought him in a wheelchair. He was strapped in his wheelchair. His muscles, the German people, I have one of the highest regard. They're some of the most important intellectual people I've ever met in the world. I've been all over the world, and they are some of the smartest, most brilliant folks. But out of all their brilliance and intellect and things they have, they could not figure out why this man's muscles, strand by strand, are separating. Each strand of muscle, not each muscle, each strand of muscle is acting independently from the body. There's no source for that. I don't know, you probably have never heard of it. It was actually my first time to hear of it. There may be somebody way smarter than me, like sitting on this front row that here, you know, I mean, she, you know. I was just astounded at him. I was just talking to him through an interpreter, you know, and I wanted to know about it. How did it start? There was no clue. It just started. And I said, well, I do know how to fix it. And he just actually, it was comical to him. Because he's been to the best doctors in Europe that there are. And I'm sitting here, you know, this guy that works in Mexico in the mountains and rides a mule to church. And I'm sitting here telling him, I know how to get this fixed. And after he got through laughing, I said, do you not want it fixed? He said, I would like to get out of this chair. I said, here's the answer. Get up. He looked at me. He said, I cannot get up because, what's this? 62% of his muscles had de-stranded. There were just cords in his body. And they would not, he would try to do something. He had his faculties and his whole motor system was intact, but it would not work. Isn't that awesome? I'd never heard about that, man. And to me, it was just awesome to be there, just for the knowledge. And he says to me, I cannot get up. I said, who told you you couldn't? He said, well, I tried to get up, you know, several times at home. I said, unstrap him. They unstrapped him. I said, now do what I say. You look at me in the eyes. Do what I say. I realize who I am, a mule riding preacher. I got that. I'm not stepping out of my bounds, but inside of my bounds is this healing right here. In my freedom, I have your healing. In the truth that's in me, you can walk. Isn't that so? I am not a bastard. I am not a servant. I am a son. Isn't that something? And see, you're going to figure it out that I believe that. And they unstrapped him. They did what I said. They wouldn't listen to him because in his opinion, he's fixing to flow out of that chair. You know, right to the floor. And he almost did. Till I caught him by the shirt collar. And I rattled him a little. I said, get up. And he all of a sudden got serious. And he looked at me. I said, okay. And we watched. It's on video. I should have these things so I can show you. I do have some of them, but I don't know. I just don't run around with that stuff. Just all of a sudden, this surprised look come on his face. And the look, it don't matter if he's German. It don't matter if he's Pakistani, Indian, Brazilian. The look is the same when the Holy Ghost nails you. Whoa! And all of a sudden, his hands worked and picked him right up out of that chair. And I'm just starting to back up because this is scary, man. I'm serious. I am freaking out. I am not kidding. I'm backing up from this guy. Because I know if he ever starts running, he's going to latch onto me and I'll never peel him off of me. I got to get me a head start going. Because I can't run as fast as I used to. I mean, all of a sudden that man started walking and then he was leaping and then he was doing what? Exactly. I enjoy it. Can you tell? Verse 36. If. That's the question, isn't it? It's not anything else but if. Is that not the question? It's not about money. It's not about sickness and disease. It's not about that. It's not about relationships. It's not about drugs. It's about if. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, what you gonna be? It's true, you know. It's true. I was just down in Brazil, and in this Amazon basin, they put on this big conference, and I was invited to go. So I took a team of our missionaries, and we went down there. And so we're there, you know, and it ends up being there's about, I don't know, the place was just completely packed. It was 1,200 and some odd pastors came, and it was a big deal, big deal. Drew national attention. And we're up there preaching, you know, and then they opened the meetings up. But that was a mistake. Because the house could only hold 2,500, and there was 6,000 or 7,000 people there. What are you going to do with them? Nothing except let them stand in the rain. But you know what? There wasn't a game on television. There wasn't a stock quote they were waiting on. There wasn't a dinner with some great dignitary. They were there to see Jesus. And it didn't matter how much it rained and lightning, they stood in that rain and waited their turn. You should see that, actually. People with expectancy and suspense. People who are free in the Holy Ghost. People who walk through truth to get freedom. There were so many people in the house. There was not one other 8-inch or 10-inch spot to set shoes for another person. There were so many sick people in wheelchairs, there was no place to put them. They put them, we had a great big facility in the whole, what is this called up here? What's this? Platform was full of wheelchairs and cripples and things like that. And I'm walking around just enjoying myself like y'all saw me do last night. Laid my hands on several of them and went out. I wouldn't dare get down that crowd. I wouldn't have been here. If I would, I wouldn't have had pieces of me. I mean, it was, those people were serious. I almost lost my shirt every night. It's not a joke. Everything loose on me, they took. Even what are these called here? Bell loops. Pull them off my britches. And I'm just, you know, I've been around that before, and so you just put up with it and go in the house. But see, that's suspense, isn't it? That's freedom. That's truth. And I'm standing up there praying for some of these people, and the team had gone out in the crowd. I sent them out. It was like a couple of wounded cows in the piranha basin. I mean, them boys were beat up every night. We laughed. I mean, they got beat up, scratched, clawed, pinched, hit, kicked. I mean, Holy Ghost was moving, and when he moves, there's things happen to you. Physical things happen to you. And I heard this roar of the crowd that I wish all of you could experience. It's a thing that happens to humans when God moves. And it's a spontaneous, it doesn't matter your belief, whether you believe in me doctrinally, whether I'm sound or not, that's it. That nothing becomes relevant anymore, because with their eyes, thousands of people saw a woman that they knew had sat in a wheelchair for 27 years with cerebral palsy. They roared because all of a sudden she's unbuckling her straps. And they saw her. And I heard this roar. I turned to see because they were all, every eye in that place was riveted on one little space. And I turned to see what it was. And when I got around to it, this woman was, she hadn't walked in 27 years. And she's out of that wheelchair. People are rushing to her. And I'm screaming, let her alone! If you can't get her up, before she gets healed. Don't touch her after. She don't need you. Did you hear me? And trust me, I mean it. We're not going to let physical intervene on this. This is supernatural. This is God loving one of His kids. And we're going to let it happen. And we sit there all in awe, all of us. I mean, our eyes and our... is we hear bones snapping and cracking and popping. And she starts walking. And then starts hopping. She hopped all over that place. All I can say is, I wish you could have seen it. That's freedom. That's what truth gets you. And it's in Jesus. Will you please stand up? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Lover of my soul. Jesus. I will never let you go. Have any of y'all ever heard of a place called Agen, France? Agen. A-G-E-N. Agen, France. It's right down by Andorra. Andorra is a little bitty old country. You can cross it in probably less than an hour, about an hour, I guess. It's in the Pyrenees Mountains. I was there a couple months ago. And I'd enjoy it. I made me a snowman. We crossed the Pyrenees out of Andorra back into France from Spain. And it snowed. So I stopped. A little pullover. Climbed out there. Just sit down. Just sit in the snow with regular street clothes on. And just built me a snowman. You know, sometimes you need to just stop and build a snowman. It's good for you. I just stopped and built me a snowman and got in my car and went on about my business. Made it to Agen. The Holy Ghost brought in hundreds of a certain type of people that you don't know much about called gypsies. They're roving bands of thousands. But somehow they respond to me, those people. And there were hundreds of them in this service. And there was even some French there. Like 600 of them. The thing is, though, the gypsies are over here and the French are over here, and they don't mix, even though they live in the same nation. The prejudice is something fierce. Christians who are gypsies and Christians who are not hate each other. Sad day we live in. Sad day. And they both love Jesus. Guess what it wasn't? It wasn't my job to kill the prejudice. Guess what my job is? Anybody know? Tell the truth. What does truth bring? For who? Everybody. This really happened. What I'm fixing to tell you really happened. There was actually a real revival with the gypsies. It's amazing. I'm blessed to be part of it. I like it. I really like the way they eat. They bring their food, all of them do, and they stack it up on these tables. And when the table gets completely full, they set another table on top of the food. And it's stacking it up, two or three plates, the containers deep, and then they put another table up there. And you eat through to the bottom. That's true, that's how it happens. It's awesome, it's wonderful to me. Different culture, different people. I enjoy working with that. Anyway, now what? The tension is pretty good. I walk on this side, I feel, I walk over here, I feel, I'm thinking, Lord God, what am I doing here? I'm not part of either one of these crowds. Because I don't do islands and camps. I don't do that. I don't do divisions. I do Holy Ghost. And so that great Holy Ghost is there. Lots of these people got saved. I think it ended up being like 40 gypsies got saved and like 40 or 50 French got born again. And they're all down here together at one time, getting born again. Same God, same prayer. And they're getting born again together. So I told all the pastors that were there. I said, you guys can have all these people that hate each other. I want all these new converts. And we'll take France. Because they haven't learned to hate yet. They haven't been taught by the church to hate. You better check your freedom. It might not be as free as you think it is. I'm not kidding you. We really need to, repent, church. And while we're down here praying with these people, we got rushed. I mean, there were hundreds of people came. We were so prayed. I could not move. I got down on the floor. Shouldn't have done it, but it was too late. There were so many people, I was stuck up against the platform. It was a big, tall thing. I was pushed up against it. I couldn't move. Then something happened. There was a lady there, blind. They fought, the gypsy lady, they fought their way through to us. Everybody in there could see the scales on her eyes. It looked just like fish scales on her eyes. We laid our hands on her, nothing happened. Then the French fought their way through with this lady that was who they wanted healed. And she was deaf for like 40 years or something, long time. And I'm just sitting there, boy, this is wild. I can't get out of here without they can fight their way into me. And so I'm sitting there, I'm praying, we're praying, the music's going, things are pretty good, the Holy Ghost starts moving. Right in front of us all of us, the Holy Ghost flipped those scales off that woman's eyes. Her eyes flew open, she started seeing. It freaked her out. She went screaming through the crowd and went into the French side. This person over here that was deaf for all these years, her ears popped open. Freaked her out. She ran over here to the gypsy side. The Holy Ghost followed them. The trail that they ran down, a swath of 10 people wide, was not clean out as they were running. Both ways. And when the pastor saw that, freedom hit the house. Somewhere along the way, we're going to have to let Jesus be who he is. It isn't about your opinions, theologies. It isn't about your interpretations. The word of God is not for any man or woman's private interpretation. You realize that? It's not about those things. It's about letting the Holy Ghost flow. I really want to do that. I'm going to make a bold statement. It's not going to be me that stops it. I'm going to be a doorway to the best of my ability for truth to open and let freedom run through. And I just wonder, is anybody else going to be part of that with me? Come on. Holy Ghost! Do you understand I get put into these hard situations and it hadn't changed me who I am? I'm a redneck from Louisiana. I always have been. I'll die that way. But do you understand, even though I'm who I am, it has not changed the freedom that's allowed to happen to you. Are you hearing that? You can stay who you are. It's all right. God made you that way. It's okay. But you can't let that dominate you. You must be dominated by the Holy Ghost. You must allow the truth to set you free. You must allow suspense and expectancy to rule your spirit. And you must tabernacle with the great God of heaven. Shinatani. And I'm right. I'm right. And I want to invite you to those things. And if you're experiencing those things already, I granted, I give you that. I'm sure you're way ahead of me, most of you. I'm good with that. Then you won't mind helping me a little bit, then, will you? Because I am going to win. Because I'm a winner. Because I'm a son. And I work indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to Jesus right now. Great Holy Ghost, thank you for their patience with me. I thank you for your mercy and your grace to us as your church, your body. We're from different backgrounds, several different beliefs in here, Holy Ghost. I ask you to touch us all. Touch us with mercy and grace. Touch us with anointing and purity. Great Holy Ghost. I want you in an attitude of prayer and praise, reverential fear of the Lord. If you're looking for that price that I've stated tonight, it ain't about you giving me money for that widow. I tell you, heaven's taking care of her. It's about you tonight. It's about your personal freedom. It's about you walking and embracing the truth of the gospel and wanting to walk indeed in the Holy Ghost. That thing I've been talking to y'all about last night and tonight has about 25 steps in it. I wish I had the time to teach it to you. The very next one is joy. Oh, that's a good one. Because there's just not much joy in the church anymore. Y'all know how to sit and soak, but you don't know how to walk in freedom and true joy. Really joyous in the Spirit of God. We need that. We've got to have it. Power, anointing, grace, mercy, liberty, Holy Ghost. I want to ask you if you need healing in your body, if you need to be reconciled back to the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. If you need this freedom, I want to ask you to come up here and let's pray together in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. You need healing in your body, come. If you need stress relief, come. Jesus is going to help us. Now I done got all over his pulpit. Now what's that going to bring back? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I feel healing. I feel it. Feel it on me. I need a couple of ushers. All right. Okay. Guess what I found out? This power I've been talking to y'all about, this anointing, this freedom, this liberty, this truth. Guess what? God lets us leave it now. It's abiding. If you want it, you can have it. It's not mine. We worked hard for it. with God, and He gave it to us. But it's not ours. We have actually been bought with the same price you have. It's the blood mercy of the Holy Ghost. That's enough time for you. Now, what you came for up here, I want you to speak it out of your mouth. Verbally. To the Holy Ghost. You know where I'm being sent? I didn't even know it existed. There's this guy, you know, Brother Larry Stockstill. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. I was with him not long ago. There is a church in Nigeria that has 900,000, about a million people. You drive up to the platform in a car. Serious. They have a stadium for the pastors. It's on staff. I'm gonna go there and preach. I just want to see it. You know, I just want to look at it. I want to stand up and look at a million people. I need a vision. I have enough vision now to sink the entire naval fleet of the United States of America. I need some more. I need some more vision. It ain't gonna happen. I need some more vision. I want more of God. There's no way to describe to you what it's like to lay your hands on 28 dead people and watch them get up. There's no way to tell you how that feels. I've done that. Preached on every continent now. Preached all over. Thousands and thousands now of people getting saved. It's easy to me now. I used to struggle so much, y'all. I remember it. I've got to invite you not to do that. I've got to invite you out of that. That's torment. You're not called to torment. You're called to freedom. And it's real. And we can have it. I hope I can tell you in 10 years that what I was teaching you now was torment. That I'm now free. I hope I can say that then. In 10 more years. Have you got what you want said to the Holy Ghost? Yeah. This is what we're going to do. We're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost starting right now. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. We're going to walk in true freedom through the truth of the gospel right now. Starting right now. We'll keep score now. Holy Ghost anointing now. Gifts of the Holy Ghost now. Healing now. Jesus' name. Here first. Just go ahead and seek God. We're coming. Receive fire, healing, fire in your spirit, sir. Heaven's anointing on your spirit. In Jesus' name. Chipano. Tocala. Fuego de Dios. Tócala. Fuego del Espíritu Santo. I I'm telling you right now, I feel this. I feel healing. Watch this. Watch these words which come out of my mouth. I feel adaptation to the Spirit of God. That means change for you. I feel that. It's happening in this right now. It's here. I submit myself, our work, what we do, in Jesus' name, holy. Fire of God in your spirit, sir. Release of the Holy Ghost. Grab it. Fire. Fuego. Woo-hoo. My. Pretty nice. Pretty nice. What's happening? Great Holy Ghost. Release. Holy, holy. Holy, holy. Holy Ghost. Fire. Y'all together? Y'all together. Y'all team, y'all. Come on, y'all. Holy Ghost. Power in this house.